disease of the Taiwan economy. And this year, despite all these problems, despite the political rallies, there was no violence. Workers continue to work. Unemployment rate this year falls to, I suppose it will be 3.9%, the lowest in 6 years. The stock prices go up by more than 10% now. Okay. All this points to pretty good economic situation. But in the future, we meet some challenges. One challenge is the need to continue to reform our economy, particularly in the service sector. The service sector now accounts for 73% of our economy. It is this competitive part of the economy. It needs liberalization. It needs opening up. And it needs outside push to our reform effort. And the second is that we may be faced with the possibility of economic isolation. And it would substantially weaken Taiwan's economy and would be destabilizing factor in the Asia Pacific. Taiwan is an open economy. It depends heavily on external trade. In the past, US was our number one trading partner. But since 2000, this picture has gradually changed. Now China has replaced the US as our number one trading partner. Particularly 40% of our exports now go to China. On the top of this, 70% of our foreign direct investment also go to China. Of course, this raises the problem. The question is to whether we are too dependent on the Chinese economy. But the Taiwan economy is globally deployed. We are not just number two investor in China. We are number one investor in Vietnam, number three investor in Thailand and in Malaysia. We are number six in Philippines and in Indonesia. Recently, our companies have pushed into European Union. I think Acer is now number one notebook brand in Europe. Some of our companies have pushed to Central Eastern Europe and into India. 2 years ago, CEPD, my council, tried to ask our firms to go to India. At that time, no one seemed to be interested. Now, it seems that every high-tech company has a representative there. And on the top of this, as we try to position globally, the government now is pushing our companies to go to Central America, okay, taking advantage of the CAFTA, okay, and to build a connection there. So all this suggests that because of our investment globally, we have built a very good series of supply chains in China, in Southeast Asia, in elsewhere. Just in China alone, I think according to various estimates, Taiwan is about 750,000 to 1 million Taiwanese businessmen stationing in China. There are about 90,000 Taiwanese companies employing around I think 10 million Chinese workers. Taiwan and the U.S. are closely bound, not only by the trade, but also by investment. Taiwan's the U.S. investment in Taiwan this year is about 800 million. It's 121% over the previous year. The cumulative investment of the U.S. in Taiwan is around 12.9 million. And because of this investment, there is close cooperation between the two economies, particularly in the high-tech sector. And in the high-tech sector, this cooperation makes Taiwan's high-tech sector crucial to the growth of the global high-tech sector. Last year, an article in Business Week entitled "Why Taiwan Matters" says very well, say that the global economy could not function properly without the high-tech corridor running, stretching from Taipei until Taichung. Taichung is the largest city in central Taiwan. This corridor holds the key to the development and future growth of the high-tech sector in the global economy. And this points to the importance of the cooperation between the U.S. and Taiwan. And we think that this cooperation could be enforced, could be expanded, especially when Taiwan is going to expand, to develop, to liberalize its service sector. Taiwan's service sector is now account for 73% of our GDP, and its liberalization and expansion would provide future growth for Taiwan. Also provide an business opportunity for the U.S. I think through an FTA, then this supply chains built by Taiwan could be further utilized. Now, I think the trade expansion and liberalization has contributed to the growth of the world economy. However, multilateral negotiations through WTO seem to be a slow process, and now the Doha run seem to stop, even though the APEC leaders 2 weeks ago called for an early resumption. But I think Grant seemed to be very pessimistic. And because of the slow process of WTO, many countries build RTAs or FTAs as stepstones to WTO. In the Asia Pacific, there are the so-called ASEAN plus one, ASEAN plus three, ASEAN plus six. By ASEAN plus one means ASEAN plus China. Three means China, Korea, Japan, and six means the addition of India, Australia, New Zealand. Okay. And in all these RTAs, it seems two countries are missing. One is Taiwan, the other is the U.S. Okay. And we can see that as this process continues, Taiwan will be isolated. And I think a strong Taiwan is key to the stability of Asia Pacific. An isolated U.S. will be cut off from this growing region in the world economy. It's not good for the U.S. either. So we are friends in this distress. And so, and FTA for between Taiwan and the U.S. not only will allow the U.S. to take advantage of the liberalization process, particularly in the service sector in Taiwan, okay, but also would create an atmosphere such that we would have a unified Asia-Pacific, okay, which would be good for the stability of the region. And many people ask that, well, without an FTA, you can continue to pursue your liberalization. Of course, we have been pursuing liberalization for a long time, with or without an FTA. But without external push, the process will be very slow. In the past few years, we tried to push for financial liberalization. Then we faced all the obstacles, all the objections. Everyone wanted to return to the market mechanism. But the fact is market mechanism is very slow. The world is not waiting for us. We look at Korea. Okay. Because of the external push in 1997, when there was Asian financial crisis, it had to engage very serious financial liberalization and even to consider to be shame of the country. But because of that shame, it engaged in real reform and quickly the Korean economy recover and it becomes a role model for the world. If we are to another sector that is needs to reform will be our agriculture sector. I think as in any other country, reform of agriculture, opening up the agriculture sector cannot be done from within. It would require external push. We can only ask our farmers to sacrifice for a very great national cause. Okay. And so an FTA would be very useful. Okay. And I can talk about the other benefits, such as government procurement. Okay. Our government procurement offers an opportunity for, particularly for U.S. And even though we are interested, but the GPA, Government Procurement Agreement, we are not able to sign because of the so-called Chinese factor. Under an FTA, we will be able to seek bilateral GPA with the U.S., and this would provide for additional opportunities. And when we talk about an FTA between Taiwan and the U.S., everyone would ask, what would happen to China? What would happen to Chinese would the Chinese object? Okay. And I think that in the past 2 years, we have negotiated with the U.S., the so-called, we have entered in TIFA talks with the U.S. TIFA talk was a trade and investment framework agreement. It was considered a stepstone to FTA. There was no objection from the U.S., from China. Okay. If there is an, currently, Taiwan's exporter orders received by Taiwan, 40% is outsourced, mainly to China. In other words, every $100 of export we make, $40 earned by Chinese. So an FTA between Taiwan and the U.S. actually, the China would gain additional benefit. We get a side benefit. Okay. A lot of people want Taiwan to talk further with China, particularly the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Taiwan, because they consider Taiwan to be their operational center, to be their R&D center. They want the free flow of goods, parts. They want the free flow of people, free flow of capital. Okay. And my government has stated repeatedly, we are waiting to talk with China. And actually, particularly with 3 links with direct flights, we have authorized the Taipei Airline Association to be the catalyst, a private group, to be the catalyst, to be the initiators of negotiations between the two sides. But a further talk between Taiwan and China will also need an external push. As I have just mentioned, 40% of our exports go to China. 70% of our direct investment also go to China. There are people within Taiwan who are afraid of our over dependence on China. Not only because this over dependence would hurt us politically as a serving country, but also it exposes us to unnecessary economic risk. Now, to convince them for us to engage meaningful discussion, negotiation with China, we need to give them some confidence about other alternatives that can be available to them. An FTA between the U.S. and Taiwan would give them such a confidence. Okay. Whether we are to further open to China, it is actually a controversial issue within Taiwan. Some of you may know that in the past July, the cabinet held a meeting to talk about how to sustain Taiwan's economic growth. We invited people from all sectors of the economy to talk about these related issues. And when we talk about whether we're not too open to the Chinese economy, 35 people spoke about the subject. Of the 35 people, 18 were for further opening, and 17 were against. Those who were against were very vocal. They even threatened to walk out of the conference. Oh, so you can see how divided within Taiwan about the issue. And FTA would give us enough confidence, enough reason to calm these people who are strongly opposed to the further opening to China. I think with an FTA, we will be more confident. We will be able to be more forthcoming in talking with China. I think this will be a win-win-win, triple win. Okay, it's not a website triple win situation. Okay, and I know that the TPA is coming to its deadline next July, and so time is running out. I think a quick FTA between the Taiwan and the U.S. would be good for, of course, for Taiwan. It could be good for the U.S. And actually, it would be also good for China. And it would be good for the stability of Asia Pacific. Without the NFTA, Taiwan risks to be isolated, risks to be economically weakened. Taiwan is of now holds the key to the stability of the region. We all think about the North Korea. Okay. But Taiwan is potentially a hit spot. An economically stable Taiwan is the best. It's its democracy is mature. If its economy is strong, the Taiwan will play a stabilizing force. And we can also avoid U.S. being cut off from the Asia-Pacific region. So on this note, I thank you for listening and urge your support. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Hu, thank you. That was a rich presentation with lots of thoughtful things that we could open up the discussion on. I was particularly interested in the twist you put on the FTA, meaning that the FTA could create a greater willingness to open to the People's Republic and in that sense contribute to stability in cross-straits relations as well as economic stability in the region. I think that's worth exploring in our discussion. It'd be useful to have other people's thoughts about that as well. So if you don't mind, we'll throw it open for a few questions. Sure. And hopefully no ripe fruit or anything like that. So, but thoughts from the audience, if we could. Please. And could you introduce yourself as well, please?
I'm Betty Lin of the World Journal. In your written statement, you mentioned about Carlyle Group acquiring Taiwan's semiconductor company, ASC. And I understand there's a lot of concern in Taiwan on that. Could you address that?
I think some of you may know that last week, ASE, Advanced Semiconductor Engineering Company, a leading semiconductor packaging and testing company, was acquired by the Carlyle Group at a cost of $6 billion U.S. dollar. It caused a lot of discussions in Taiwan, a lot of press coverage. First time an economic issue crowds out political coverage. Okay, and there was worry about what would happen, what would it mean for the economy, okay. And particularly what does it mean for our capital market, because this has to do with the whether or not to further open the economy to China. Actually, Taiwan is a quite a globalized economy. Some of our best companies have substantial foreign ownership. For example, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, the leader in semiconductor manufacturing, has 75% of foreign ownership. So acquisition of ASE by a foreign company itself is not unusual. It says that the company is worth more than its stock prices, essentially. But the implication is that according to various reports, the reason it decided to be sold to the card group and delisted from TSC, Taiwan Stock Exchange, was because of the limit we put on investment in China. Currently, there is a rule that the investment in China by any listed company cannot exceed 40% of its net worth. And the implication is now being fully, is still being discussed. From what I know is that this company actually has not hit the 40% limit. So perhaps it's not directly related to the cross-strait, to this limit. But it does raise the problem regarding whether or not to relax the limit. And now it's still being discussed.
That's a good question. Any other questions, thoughts? Please.
Hi, I'm Foster Klug. I work for the Associated Press. I was curious to see who you've met with in your trip here, and what has been the response from U.S. officials you've talked with to beginning negotiations or to an overall FTA agreement?
Of course, I met with my friend here. I met with a number of people at the luncheon yesterday. There are private talks, but I think it's not my privilege to discuss these private talks.
Can you talk generally about what the response has been from this?
I think generally speaking, the sense here is that we can feel sympathy for Taiwan, but there are also the frustration that well, time is short. The USTR seem to say that there is not enough time to talk with Taiwan on the FTA issue because it is preoccupied with discussing FTAs with other countries, such as Korea, Thailand, and so on. I might say that Taiwan economy is only 40% of Koreans, but we buy our purchases from the U.S. is 80% of Koreans. In other words, for each dollar of income, we spend twice as Korean on the U.S. goods. And we have bigger appetite for American goods. The U.S. can benefit more from an FTA with Taiwan. I might also say that our economy is about 50% of Australia. But we buy more than Australian from the U.S., from the U.S. than Australian. So if you think that an FTA with Australia is economically justified, if you think an FTA with Korea is justified, I cannot see why Taiwan should be excluded.
Please.
Be patient and allow for more general questions before I dove into an industry-specific question. My name is Heather Clark. I work for the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. We represent the research-based pharmaceutical industry, and we have a long history in Taiwan. I'll just 2 seconds on industry statistics. Taiwan, in fact, is our fourth largest market in Asia, and so we take it very seriously. It's in a very important geography for our companies. All of our companies are invested there. I will say, though, in comparison to some of the other markets in Asia, Taiwan is relatively flat for our industry right now, where some markets, neighboring markets like China, are growing at 22-24%. Even Thailand is growing at 20%, or at least it was before the political turmoil in Thailand. But so when you look at, you know, investment opportunities and where an industry like the research-based pharmaceutical industry might want to invest, I see Taiwan sort of at a kind of at a tipping point in a way. You know, on one hand, it has fantastic world-leading science, which would make it very attractive for foreign direct investment for our industry. It could be the next Ireland, Puerto Rico, Singapore. I mean, these are all economies of comparable economic development that have attracted a lot of foreign investment from our industry. Or it could continue sort of where it is at sort of a flatline pace in terms of market growth and development, which obviously would not make it an attractive investment location for the research-based pharmaceutical industry. And so I think, I mean, fortunately, for the Taiwan government as well as for the research-based pharmaceutical industry, there's been a lot of opportunity for dialogue. And we're appreciative of your visit here in Washington this week, as well as the opportunities we've had to meet with the government in Taiwan and through the U.S.-Taiwan TIFA process to engage on some healthcare reform issues. But I was struck in your comments about your reference to Korea in 1997 being sort of a role model for the world, and the way that that financial crisis really was the impetus for major structural economic reform. And we think, at least with respect to the healthcare sector in Taiwan, the time is ripe for some structural economic reform that would basically, I think, allow for the accelerated development of the life sciences sector in Taiwan, both at the local domestic level as well as attracting foreign direct investment into Taiwan.
Thank you. I agree that the healthcare sector, agriculture sector, for example, are most protected sectors of any economy. Okay, and so if you are to help us push reforms in these sectors, and FTA will be justified. And of course, we have some problems in our healthcare sector, particularly in terms of medicine used by the National Health Insurance. The pricing problem, the counterfeit drug problems. We have been working closely with the U.S. government, okay, with AIT, and I think we have resolved most of the issues, okay, and we will continue to work on this issue. But if you think about more broadly, if you are thinking about going to the biotech industry, okay, now Taiwan actually holds the key. As of now, we have our supply of talented scientists. We have the best supply. And recently, a recent appointment to the Academia Sinica, Dr. Ong is a very distinguished bioscientist, and he is there to help push biotech research, okay, particularly in pharmaceutical research. You cannot use the research here to make drug for sales in East Asia because of certain genetic differences. Now, Taiwan could be a place for clinical research. And the reason that Taiwan is particularly good, not only because of our good supply of scientists, also because of our IPR protection. Okay. Our protection of IPR now is considered by the U.S. as a model for other countries. We not only enforce IPR protection rigorously, we have now established an IPR police force. We are also in the process of establishing an special IPR court. All this will further enhance our protection. And for biotech industry, this is very important. If you compare the scientists on both sides, of course, Chinese scientists are very talented. Some are even better than ours. The difference in this protection is in terms of the loyalty of the researchers. You can see that the Taiwanese researchers or upper management people are much loyal than those in China. I think many companies in China had an embarrassing problem that their upper management changed very rapidly. The lack of loyalty and the lack of protection of RPR is a hindrance to establishing R&D centers in China.
I'm tempted to say, Heather, I'm looking forward to the FTA to reform healthcare in the United States as well. I'm not actually being facetious. You know, I mean, we live in a world in the United States, Doctor Hu, where we're neither fish nor fowl. We're neither a full national health insurance scheme, nor are we market. And we did a study of the pharmaceutical industries when I was at the Commerce Department, and the most remarkable thing is my mother-in-law gets on a bus and goes to Canada to get her pharmaceutical products illegally. And after I did the study, I had to tell her that the same drugs were available in generic form in the United States at half the Canadian price. But as an economist, you know, that's a market that's not working. The customer was there, and the information wasn't reaching the customer. And frankly, the more that we drive in terms of common investment and common science in this area, which is really Heather's point, and I would love to see us build that into the concept of an FTA so that rather than thinking as we traditionally do, bargaining over tariff line items and subsidies, that we start to talk about what we should be doing in the joint arena. So it's not just IP protection, but it really is where do we go with the next generation of life sciences and make that a focal point of our collaboration going forward. Other thoughts? Please, Melissa.
Thank you. Dr. Hu, I was intrigued by your observation that the TIFA, the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement, can be a stepping stone toward the free trade agreement between the U.S. and Taiwan. In May this year, Deputy USTR Karan Bhatia went to Taiwan and discussed a number of topics with now Minister Steve Chen and other counterparts. And some of those topics that have recently been reported in the press could be moving forward in Taiwan, perhaps a bilateral investment agreement, perhaps a double taxation treaty, and even resolving the situation on the government procurement agreement at the WTO. How would you see those initiatives working together or establishing a momentum, if you will, toward the FTA?
Thank you. I think Mr. Bhatia was in Taiwan this May. Okay, we had good negotiations on such issues as IPR, as pharmaceutical, in agriculture, and so on, in telecom. And of course, we did not resolve all the issues, but we have accomplished it, that we are coming to the point of successfully satisfying the preconditions set by the U.S. for an FTA. The U.S. wants to resolve four issues in these areas before it wanted to further discuss an FTA. We feel that Bhatia's meeting visit nearly satisfied this, and we continue to work on resolving the rest of the issues. Mr. Lambert, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Agriculture, was in Taiwan a few weeks ago. We had further discussions on agricultural issues, and we tried. And so now is that we have accomplished so much in terms of TIFA talks. And the TPA is coming to its deadline. And are we going just to let go all the accomplishment? Well, we are going to take this out to take advantage of this accomplishment and move it forward, further, okay, and to an FTA. An FTA, as I have just mentioned, will actually contribute a lot to the economic benefits of the two countries, as well as the stability of the Asia-Pacific region.
I want you to know, Dr. Hu, that I'm going to email Congressman Rangel's staff while we're here and ask them that same question. Okay. We'll see if we get a response by BlackBerry before we're done. Is there anybody else? Yeah, Bonnie, please.
Bonnie Glazer, CSIS. Thank you so much, Dr. Hu. I'd like to turn for a minute to the China factor here and analyze very briefly China's concerns and then elicit your response. I think that that China's concerns here are political. They are not economic. I think that Beijing has an interest in seeing Taiwan economically strong. And recently, President Hu Jintao had the occasion to talk with your president's envoy at the APEC meeting, Morris Chang. And in the reports on their exchanges, apparently he commented that both sides of the strait should work on keeping their economies strong and put off the difficult political issues for the future. So I think that China's concerns are really that Taiwan might use this FTA with the United States or with other countries to promote a separatist agenda, to increase the international community's support for Taiwan as something other than what it is today. And so I think that the question then arises as to how to reassure Beijing and maybe some other countries that may share these concerns that there are some political motivations that are wrapped up with the economic benefits that would also flow from a U.S.-Taiwan FTA. And so what can Taiwan do in this regard to assuage the concerns of Beijing that this is in fact, purely economic?
Well, of course, I must say that our push for FTA is purely economic, but of course it would have political implications, right or wrong. Okay, even without an FTA, any further cooperation between U.S. and Taiwan would have political implications. If we go without the FTA, let us say that. Now we can work on individual issues. For Taiwan, double taxation issue is very important. If we are to resolve this issue, you still have to go to Congress. If you go to Congress, isn't it political? Okay. You, no matter how you go around, you cannot avoid the politics. But our motive is economic. I think this perhaps is the main handicap against our pushing for an FTA. I think even in the U.S., there are people who thought that we wanted an FTA for political reasons. Okay. But I think the most important political reason is a strong Taiwan, economic strong Taiwan, is our best assurance for maintaining current maintaining status quo. You cannot avoid. We talk about any individual issue. Ultimately, if there is any agreement, you have to go through the Congress. We are currently taxing on territorial basis. So income outside of Taiwan is not taxed. We are trying to tax all sources of income. This would involve tax treaties with other countries, and most importantly, the U.S. And the U.S. can benefit from the double taxation treaty because your companies, your expatriates in Taiwan, then would get to avoid the double taxation. Okay. But there is no other way out. So whether you go by FTA or by other means, you cannot avoid the Congress. You cannot avoid politics. But our goal, our purpose is to maintain an economically strong Taiwan.
Dr. Hu, I think what Bonnie's question points out, though, is together what we have to find is a lexicon, a language, in speaking about an FTA that allows us to talk about Taiwan as a bridge between the United States and China rather than an obstacle. Mm-hmm. And I think Bonnie's point is a good one in the sense that a lot of hard thought has to go into defining not only the economic benefits of the deal, but also the broader context internationally. Because, you know, we're now living in a world where it revolves economically on an axis between the United States and Asia, and Taiwan is on that axis, and it's a strong part of it. And we have to figure out how that dynamic works as many of your comments suggested, to China's advantage as much as the region's advantage. And that's the power of the concept. But again, you have to find the words to express that in a way that confronts the issue that Bonnie raised at some point.
I think from economic point of view, that's why MCHEN wants a closer relation between Taiwan and China, because it wants to take advantage of the supply chain that is built between Taiwan and China. But if you are to make this supply chain complete, you need another player, that is the U.S. Now, in FTA between Taiwan and the U.S., would it make this supply chain longer, more complete? It's good for all three countries, and it will be good for the world economy.
Please.
You said that the FTA is purely an economic issue.
Could you just identify yourself and who you're with?
My name is Tu Xinquan, a visiting scholar at SAIS. So what concessions does Taiwan want from the United States? What is their economic significance?
For all of us trade hacks in the room, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Well, we have substantial exports to the U.S. too. Okay. U.S. used to be our number one exporting country. Now it's number three. Part of the export to Taiwan, to the U.S. now through China. Okay. And so given that we export so much to the U.S., any reduction in the tariff would be good for us. Okay. Even though we import a lot of agriculture products from the U.S., we also export some to the U.S. And so any reduction in tariff would be good for Taiwan.
Please.
Jay Lin, CNA from Taiwan. Dr. Hu, I went to your lunch speech yesterday, and I go here again. And as my understanding, maybe I was wrong, the Taiwan strategy in the FTA issue right now is to offer a deal to the United States government, and which is you give me FTA, I give you the direct link. Is that true? What make the Taiwan's government think that the U.S. can accept it? Or did you get any positive reaction from the U.S. government right now about this offer? Thank you.
I come here to push for a U.S.-Taiwan FTA. But since cross-strait relations have been talked so often, particularly it has been pushed so hard by American Chamber of Commerce, so I feel I have to address it. I just state the fact that if we are to talk with China, we need more confidence. Okay, we need to remove some oppositions, and FTA will be helpful.
Positive reaction from the
US side? I think objection to this point of view. Okay, more concern about the time is running out. The U.S. doesn't have time for Taiwan. I think our argument for a U.S.-Taiwan FTA are well accepted here. And it's more what this administrative U.S. administration's point of view that it is too busy with other FTAs, and it is too occupied with current negotiations. And from our point of view, Taiwan deserves a priority. Okay, your benefit from an FTA with Taiwan will be much greater than the ones you are currently negotiating.
That's probably certainly true of Oman and Bahrain. Not to put too fine a point on it. Any other thoughts or questions? Well, if not, I want to thank you, Dr. Hu. This was fascinating and a lot of food for thought and for future work for all of us. But thank you very much for coming. Please join me in a round of applause for Dr. Hu.